rejoice. Take joy, my King. Be glad you're here. Let it be a certainty in my ear. One more time, I love you more. I love you more. I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. And so rejoice, take joy, my King. In love, let it be a secret in my ear. I exalt thee and I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Hallelujah. I exalt thee. And all things this is all. He has done great things. He has done great things. Let me love you. He has done great things. He has done great things. This is all.
Fill my way every day with love. The last part was complete for us. Let me walk with the Lord, lead to the shore, lead to the land of fire, living through the earth, to the sky and the moon. Come on,
song and your smile. Oh, my Lord, help me with love. Take me close to the sand of my Savior and love. Take me close at your throne. Keep my body from death and my soul satisfied. Oh, my Lord, help me with love.
That you send in this day, that nothing less would make it that cycle, but perfect love. That is what we desire tonight, Father, that you would help us, Father, to overcome our old nature. Help us, Father, to overcome the old man, that, Father, the new man, Lord, may take precedence, and that, Lord, he may express himself even as you want to express, Lord. Let us reflect thy word to this world, for it is a dying place, it's a dark place, Lord. But we are glad that there is light in this time, Lord, that you have deposited in us through thy word. So help us tonight, Father, that when that word would come, oh God, may we open our hearts in such a way that we would pull it from the minister that shall stand before thy people. Lord, that, Father, it may minister to us, Father, that which you have in store for us tonight. We pray and commit our brother George and the musicians into thine hands. Use them, Lord, to lead us into such songs that would make that desire in us alive, a desire to be in your presence, a desire to be like you, a desire to be loved, Lord. Be merciful unto us, Father, for there is many things that would try to hold us back, but, Father, we are praying, Lord, that every stronghold of the enemy will be broken tonight and will be set free to worship you, that, Lord, we will rise above, Lord, our weaknesses, we will rise above sickness, we will rise above circumstances, Lord, and that we would worship you in truth, Lord, in heart and in spirit, O God. Grant us such grace, O God, that when the pastor would come, Lord, I pray for him that you you would use him mightily tonight. Help him, Lord, that he may put himself aside.
Hallelujah.
And that you may speak to your people, Lord, to help us and to set us, Lord, on that rock that cannot be moved. For that's where we want to stand tonight, O God. Bless your people, those that are here, Lord, and those that are still on the way. We commit them into thine hands. Oh God, may you lead them safely to thine house, Lord. We ask a blessing, a mighty blessing on this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, I believe, the good report. I will just offer it. I believe in the good report. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, I am living in the presence of the King.
Our Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, just want to say thank you for bringing us through the week, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercies upon your people, providing for us shelter, Lord, in a time of great need, for providing for us food, where there is many that are lacking, Lord Father. We want to thank you, and we want to honor your word, Lord, by bringing these offerings, Father. We pray your blessing upon them, Father, that they may cover the needs that could be in your house tonight. May you be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I sing that song called "To Blessing." When upon life's billows with a tempest tossed, when the rock is carried over the cliff, come to me, blessed friends, and on my way. And with the surprise you have delivered, Your blessings, one by one.
Oh, my God,
Thank you. Thank you. 16 or 24 from there. It's the fire of becoming a rented place. Can you say to everybody, why did people not come?
Ah, but
it's a big surprise. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Luke chapter 16. We know the scripture very well. The prophet recently preached this place. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man pressed it into it. In the place of the lips of God, Father, we call upon the name. Because that's what you have for Lord. Thank you that you've given us another opportunity to gather in your presence and in your name. Father, the prophet said, all the bride needs to do is to lay in the presence of the Son. And that's why we come to you in your house once again upon this day, asking that you would be glorified, that Father, your will would be done. God, that grace, Lord, that I've gathered in this place, Father, may you gather your blessing, may you bless us in our thoughts and meditation, gather us in your word, quicken us unto prayer, and be glorified in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated in Jesus' name. I just want to take from this to desperation, just to take this thought of desperation, its cause and its response. Now, there's something about the desperation, if you really have a look in the dictionary, the dictionary definition of desperation is very often. It speaks to a person who's ready to despair. You know, a person who's in despair, well, sometimes it can be like that. The prophets more speak to the one who speaks to desperation as being the feeling of needing or wanting something very much. You know, when you get to that situation that you greatly desire something, or you greatly need something, that is really more the definition that the prophet is speaking of, is, you know, that earnest desire. There's something that, you know, you have a need, you have a desire, something that's the most pressing and important thing to your life at that time. And so there should be a call for that, there should be a response, because, you know, we can't always do this. Now, it's human body that you should take this and make all this be different, but there's certain seasons, but there's certain times where God has to take desperation from us. And desperation isn't something that you can really create inside of yourself. Desperation is something that circumstances and situations, you know, and some things, they create a certain condition at a certain time inside of your life. And that brings you to a time of desperation. Now, there are certain times where desperation is a divine requirement. But there are certain seasons and certain times in the life of individuals and the time of the church where the desperation is absolutely, God is looking to people to be desperate. Now, there's a need for that earnestness. You know, there's something, for example, Jacob, when he put a pen, he told the prophet, he was going to start to say, but the Lord is really looking for a man to be desperate, putting him in a situation where he wanted a man to go beyond where he had been before in his seeking of the Lord. And maybe the man didn't want to do it willingly. God had spoken to him in dreams, spoken to him in his words. And the man didn't want to do it himself, so the Lord had to bring circumstances to get the man really desperate to seek God in a way that he had never sought the Lord before. And then God met him. And I'm sure God would have met him, not having to go that way, if Jacob maybe had have not, you know, pressed through certain things that he shouldn't have pressed through, and maybe should have responded certain times he should have responded. But
scripture talks about that time. What desperation does in the life of a believer? It's a time where you want God's presence and experience again. You know, all the things of the past, all the testimonies of the past, all the things that God has done for you in the past, all of those things, you appreciate them. But it gets to that time where you need him present tense. Last Sunday, we were speaking about Brother Lonnie Jenkins, when he said, I needed to get a hold of God, and I found that I didn't know him. You know, and sometimes God puts a person in a position of desperation so that they can realize that when they're looking in the treasury of riches in their soul, a lot of it is fool's gold. It's not the real thing there, but you think you've got a lot of riches. You think there's a lot in the bank account, spiritually speaking, but the Lord knows there's not much there. So it has to bring a crisis inside of your life to get you to really see yourself where the beauty is here. And so you can see that you're not needing what's required at the time or the divine requirement that God has. Because he loves you. He doesn't want you to be caught out in that situation. You know, he wants to be in a desperation. So, when are the times that God expects desperation? We see it in chapter 16. It says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. And every man faces into it. So, when the kingdom draws near, whenever the kingdom of God draws near to the soul of a person, to the life of a person, God expects you to put nothing else at the top priority inside of God. He wants you to be earnest. He wants you to be sincere at that time. That is good to be your first priority. So whenever the kingdom of God is preached, that's what Jesus said. When you face the kingdom of God is being preached to me, this is my opportunity to really break into the kingdom of God. There's a door's opening. There's a possibility of something that's opening to me. You know, the Bible says every man presses in at that time. And that's what it actually means. Every man presses violently because, as we said before, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be the flesh. There's going to be the world. There's going to be the devil. There's all manners of spiritual warfare trying to keep you back from it. Because when that channel starts to open to you, you sense now that the kingdom of God is drawing nigh unto you. That time, time that God expects us to have desperation, have an earnestness, to have something, a certain zeal, as we spoke of last week, about the kind of response that you had. Not like God has brought us into that situation. Because whenever the kingdom becomes real to you, when you start to sense the possibility of something, when you start to discern that, you know, heaven's gaze is upon you, heaven's favor is drawn near to you, there's an invitation being given to you, there's a door being opened to you that maybe you've been praying about or seeking and looking at for quite some time, but you now sense that there's a possibility now. And so that's kind of the time that the Lord is really looking for people to be desperate. And that's why we're commanded in Isaiah 55 to seek to be the Lord while he may be found. So you sense the certain time that he may be found. Or maybe you've been going through a dry spell inside of your life. Maybe you've been praying. Maybe you've been seeking the Lord. Or maybe you've been under divine chastisement. The Lord has been correcting you for whatever it is that you've done, disobedience, where he's trying to purify you from some things. He's gone through the quarry, he's gone through the wilderness. It seems like the Lord hasn't been near him. And all of a sudden, something starts to change. You discern it now in the spiritual realm. It starts to look favored. The faith is being set towards you once again. And you sense that there's a possibility now that there could be a change. There's a possibility now that there could be a deliverance, or that I could be moved out of the situation that I've been in for so long. There could be a deliverance, whatever it is, to be moved to me at this time. And that's what the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And call ye upon him while he is near. So when the Lord is near to you and you discern the Lord is near to you, the scripture is instructing us to call upon him. The scripture is instructing us to find out that to seek him, not only to seek him, to desperately, to earnestly seek him. That's why it is in Proverbs when it says that you desire wisdom. When David said to Solomon, my son, desire wisdom, seek after wisdom. And it says, if you seek her like treasure, you will find Him. Then you will understand and know the knowledge of the Lord. But you've got to have that desire, the way that the people seek for riches, the way that the people of this world seek for fortune and prosperity and fame, you know. And the kingdom of God is just near to you, and it serves that possibility. The Bible says, don't continue living your normal life and saying, thank you, Lord, that you passed by, because you know, He can't just pass you by. If you don't take an advantage of a season or a time like that, because God works in seasons, yes, dispensational, yes, dispensations. And every visitation God makes, or time of favor, every visitation to Gentiles now, the time of a visitation is good about time to an end. Because every divine visitation has a set, fixed period. A starting point and a finishing point. That means we don't take advantage of those seasons when they come. Just as much as the prophet, this is an example of the nature, it is seen as a season comes for seed time, and if you plow and sow the seed, if you don't take advantage of that season, you're going to get to harvest. When the harvest time comes, and you learn to form, this is the harvest time. Act accordingly, not looking at the weather, not worrying about conditions. You've got to get your crop out of the field. You can't let the season pass you by. Because everything in the kingdom of God works seasonably. And that's why whenever you read the Bible, you'll find the people that you can spiritually, the people who walk to God were smart people. It wasn't being smart, but there were people who recognized their season. They recognized their opportunity, and they responded in season. They took their opportunity when it came, and they became the people who read in the Bible like Ruth. But you see, others like Oprah that was given the same opportunity, the same season taken away, but she never recognized that the first season that was taken over into her to enter into the kingdom, to enter into the covenant promises of God. But for whatever reasons, the family, you know, all the emotional things that you had inside of her life, she just said, I don't know, this isn't important. There are other things more important to me. I mean, we have to read of Oprah again in the Bible. And Ruth, because she decided at that time, it didn't matter about the circumstances, it didn't matter about the cost, it didn't matter about what people were going to think of her. She was stirred inside of her that was deep, that she had inside of her soul ever since the day of when she had looked around and she had realized, but how am I different than these other people in love? Why can't I be sacrificed worshiping these gods? There's nothing more than this. There was a deep inside of her. And she'd always, I'm sure, in the days of the evening, speaking for something, she asked questions that other young people never asked of the pagan priests and so forth, just like you and I did. She was seated inside of her. And then now at that time, and Naomi now was about to leave because she heard the Lord had visited her people. Ruth could discern and sense inside of herself that this is my opportunity. You know, I'm the reason that you have now, I'm going to leave upon other things at this time. I can lose this opportunity. I can get a good opportunity. That was her season. That was the window of opportunity that the Lord was giving to her. And inside of herself, she could discern, she could sense inside of herself. It wasn't just any other time of life, we get any other time of life, but there was something different about this time. But there was something moving in the spiritual realm. She couldn't understand it, couldn't explain it maybe to other people, but she could taste it inside of herself. But this is an important time. I need to be careful at this time. I need to be careful with the decisions that I make. Now I need to really, really be sensitive now to the something that's trying to take me to a place that I haven't been before, because I'm feeling inside of myself that there's a possibility now that this could be the time that I'm finding the things that I'm seeking. I don't know what it is that I'm seeking. It's just a reality. There's not a satisfaction inside of my soul that I'm yearning and longing for ever since the days of my youth. Then I met my husband, and I boom, like, I didn't find out of it. And then I met Naomi. I understand there's something about them and their God. They're not going to be walking in the way that they're supposed to walk, but I can sense big destiny inside of it, big destiny. I'm going to think the opportunity. There's an earnestness. There's like desperation. I said, no, look, don't tell me anymore. Don't tell me to go back anymore. You know, you're going to be my God. When you die, I'm going to die. Then your God
be my brother, you're to be my brother. And the prophecy is it's God kind of clear that division, that makes the difference between the rich and the orphans in the Bible. And because we want to be those kind of people, that when the kingdom draws near, when there's something you've been seeking inside of your life, maybe you're seeking for baptism of the Holy Ghost, now maybe you're seeking some kind of glory, maybe you're seeking, maybe it's marriage, maybe it's the next stage of your life. You know, you're seeking at this time to understand, you know, and then God being gracious the way that He is, in His season now, because at least just says to everything that is a season, at a time to every purpose under heaven, to be sent now, something's moving. Because God works in this supernatural way, it would come forth with the mercy many times. He's the presence at that time. This possibility now that the very thing that I've been praying about could not be the time now. This is going to open this thing up to me. And any believer who really, really understands spiritual things at that time, nothing else is going to be as important as that. You're not going to allow other things to come in the way of that. Satan's going to try to bring a lot of things in the way. But they respond at that time. In this kind of season, this kind of situation, Noah realized in his day that this is the starting point in God's book to Noah, and then he realized that it's ending for 120 years. Because my spirit will not always strive with man to say, the Lord. And Noah realized that's why he was moved by fear. But he was moved in by desperation. He had to do things beyond what people normally would have to do. To build them up. He had to do something to go through the persecution, the ridicule that he went through. Yeah, but there was a reality, and he managed to stay in that channel. They had opened him, and maybe sometimes people would try to pull him off the side of that. You know, he continued fine-tuned his spiritual experience to stay in that channel of his visitation, of his calling, until that season had been finished. And he achieved what he was supposed to achieve. Now it says in Luke 5, verse 17, this is the scripture of the prophet Jesus. The certification passed on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law of the kingdom that come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present here. Certain times and things, maybe you've been cooking for healing, following and stuff like that. Maybe you've been cooking, or you've had a child, whatever it is. And you've gone through, you know, so many different guidelines. But comes to a certain time when you start to attempt and discern that the kingdom of God is going to be. And that's what Hannah felt that time. Yes, she'd been many times before. She had come up many, many years and prayed and wept and done all the things that she'd done before. At this time when she went, she discerned something different. But there's something different. There's a possibility at this time. And in this place, if I just handle this wisely, if I just keep him while he may be wrong, if I just call upon him while he's near, this would be the time. You know, the prophet preaches, first is this the time. When you get to those kind of seasons where there's something is declaring itself and you've been desiring something for so long, that when that season comes, you say, could this be the time? You know, you can hardly believe it, but the Lord's having favor upon me. I remember which book it is, maybe it's in one of the prophets, but it's just, you know, it's just comfort ye my people. I think it's in Isaiah. It's declared to Jerusalem. That's the time of the Lord's favor has come. But there's been a captivity that can do all of these things. But the Lord has nothing to care about. It's now time for me to show favor upon my city once again. Go and comfort my people and tell them that the time of my favor has come. And then discern those kind of times. So the prophet says in the leader position in Christ, God's got a time for all things. He says, you've got a time to get out corn, time to harvest corn. You can't just start out by reaching again tomorrow, I got and harvest it. Same as God. He has times and seasons. He has seasons for His word. There's times in the scripture where it says, the presence of the Lord was there to heal the sick. That's when Jesus was looking. And the presence of the Lord was there to heal the sick. Maybe other times the presence of the Lord was there to heal the sick. And you find out that God works everything seasonally. And surely our spiritual success, our spiritual prosperity, as believers, to keep performing those things and working accordingly. There's times when he has favor upon nations. There's times he has favor upon individuals. There's times he has favor upon the Jews. There's times upon the Gentiles. You know, when the prophet, the Christian, in 1964, the Christian, the last of August, they said, Father, I'm so pleased to be here for us to pray and ask ministers. It was like using the burden for the people. What is the prayer? The says, revival is coming. He says, it's like the Spirit is now leaving the Gentiles and going over to the Jews. Just like the Jews are now starting to discern that the sense in Israel is a possibility. They can sense that now something's changed. They can really be the ones to see the Messiah putting up their billboards and all the things that they do there. But they start to sense that they haven't done it. You know, so there's those times when he draws near. There's those times when you can tell the Lord is dealing with you. Specifically, sometimes you have to take your way from where you were, get you out to yourself somewhere else, so that he can get your attention, so that he can start to deal with you, so that you don't run and hide yourself behind all these other things that you're hiding yourself behind. And at those kind of times, he wants to reveal himself. You know, those seasons of visitation, he has good faith towards you. He wants to do something for you. He wants to minister to you. He wants to open something to you. He wants to raise you higher, take you further. He wants to make himself more real, make himself known. He wants to bring deliverance. He wants to fill you with his glory. He wants to raise you up and use you in a greater way, whatever the purpose of that visitation is. But he always has a purpose. That's why it says, my word, when it goes forth, it's like the rain. You know, it doesn't return to me without achieving its purpose. He has a purpose that he sends his visitations for. And you want to, at those kind of times, seek him with all your heart. You know, the prophet speaks of the last night of the healing campaigns. This is an expectation. He says, you say the last night is more healed than there is at any other night. Because of the great pressure to pull people wanting to get in my way. I realize the invitation is almost over. If I don't get my healing tonight, there's no healing tomorrow. And this man with the gift and the angel following this man, he's not going to be in this town anymore. So if I don't pray him now, there's this time of the troubling of the waters. And as a believer, you need to discern the troubling of the waters at a certain virtue that's available to those that are pressing at that time. There's a certain something that will minister to you, deliver to the captives, whatever that it is, that kind of time. You need to discern. It's time now not to worry about other things. It's time now to enter in when the waters have been troubled. Because once that ends, the prophet said that angel would come down with that healing virtue, come down over the waters, and that healing virtue would go into the waters. Once the first person stood in, the virtue was taken up. The angel now had to go back up now to receive the virtue again, and he could come down. That's what it's taking advantage of those kind of times. That's the important thing. And that's in Luke chapter 19, where Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, and he says, so he said, if thou hadst known, in our modern language, he said, if only you had realized, if only you had realized, if only you had observed. He says, if thou hadst known, if thou had lived in thy day. So not every day is going to be your day or my day. There's other persons in this. If you don't want to appreciate the visitation of the Lord, there's other people in your world. If you don't want to respond to him, like Proverbs and love to him when he draws near, you're going to find other people to do that. No, but that's why Jesus was saying to these people, if only you had have recognized, if only you had have known, in what my day. And then every believer knows that feeling when it's your day. When the Lord is visiting you, it's the greatest thing that can be. Even in the simplicity of it, you get yourself, you shut yourself in and you put on a marriage, you open up the Word. And there's something different. You know, the whole week you've been struggling and your mind has been other things, and then you go to a certain time and you realize, oh, this is my time.
Don't push me down. Just be it. Like when you want to go for prayer, that's when you go and try to certain time you can pray, it's your time, it's your day. And you can stand it. I mean, so what can be more precious to a believer than that? What can be more important to a believer that when you start to realize, but he's drawn near. Now I must seek him while he's here. Let me call upon him while he may be found. Let me take advantage of this anointing. Let me take advantage of this unction. Let me take advantage of this presentation. Because in that season when he's visiting you, you can go down that season, whatever that is, then in months and months and months when it's not the right season. Just waiting seasonably with the Lord. But it's just like someone who's not the right season. Throwing your ground. But you find another time, it's too easy. And the still put it up, and God is working both on his hands. And you say, this is the visitation. This is the season and the time for this person's visitation. And all the Lord is looking back to you at that time. But what is the danger, like we always say? The danger is to quench the spirit. The danger is not to respond. Now you can recognize that this is my time, but you're going to spend. And it passes you by, and you never receive the virtue and the effect on the experience, whatever it is that you want to minister to, that visitation, and it passes by. And then later on, you're going to try to seek it and find it because it's not there anymore. Because it's not your time. Like Peter, when he sought the blessing with tears. And he couldn't find it now because the blessing had passed him by. Thank you. There are many people that miss too many opportunities. Because you don't have too many opportunities. The virtue of receiving is above visitation. Each visitation is a divine appointment. That he sets the boundaries in the time of that visitation. So we need to recognize that. And we need to use those opportunities when they come. Now, all of those two things the day we visited. Father died and never returned. And Jesus wept over them and said, because in the time he says, if thou hadst known even in this thy day the things which belong unto your peace. He says, but now they're hidden from your eyes. And they shall lay thee even with the ground and your children within thee. They shall not leave one stone upon another. Because thou knewest not the time of your visitation. So that is a sad thing. Now, when he's done everything that he can do, and he's set to save, he's set his affection upon you. He's looked at you, he's drawn near to you, he's allowed you to sense inside of your spiritual makeup that this is the time, this is the season, if I seek you, and then you put other things ahead. Your reputation, whatever it was, your religion, whatever it was that they put ahead in that season, and then it passes you by, and then through the tears of the Savior, he prophesies your doom. Because it wasn't his will, he didn't want it to be like that. But he, you know, the Lord never holds us accountable for what we don't know. But the Lord holds us accountable for every visitation. He's going to make us answer for the stewardship of that visitation. What did you do when my favor was set upon you? When I drew near to you at that time and I said, seek me in my face. Why were you not like David? When I said to David, seek me in my face, David says in the Psalms, Lord, when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, my face, Lord, will I seek. That's all the Lord wants. He just wants a response. He just wants your full attention, and that's going to sometimes require a desperation for you to press through your unbelief, press through all the opposing forces that are trying to hold you back from the purpose of that visitation. You need to be careful because he's going to hold us accountable for these things. You know, remember years back, and speaking about the difference between desperation and fanaticism. But there's so much fanaticism, we can work ourselves up into something. Now, fanaticism is when you work yourself up into something. You know, like I gave the example back those years of the prophets of Baal. I mean, there was no spiritual basis for them to behave the way that they did. God wasn't involved in anything that they did. No, so then you've got to look at the source of why you're doing what you do. If there's a divine visitation, and then you seek Him with all your heart, that's not fanaticism. Because the basis of what you're doing is responding to something that He's done for you. But when you're just jumping on the altar and you're telling yourselves and shout, screaming to the skies, that's not in response to anything spiritual that happened to you. That becomes fanaticism. That's emotionalism. You know? There's nothing wrong with emotion as long as a response. The natural response to the soul of a human being when you have a season of visitation is emotion. You find when a person receives Christ and really repents and Christ comes in, there'll be tears most of the time. It's because there's been this pressure, there's been this conviction, there's been this something inside of the soul, and now there's a deliverance. Now there's something takes place inside, it reflects itself outside as well. But it's got to be the response to something. Now, the basis of true desperation always is when something supernatural starts declaring itself to your soul. It starts declaring a possibility. And there's those seasons in your life when the Lord starts declaring a possibility. You start to sense there's a possibility now. There's a possibility that this can change inside of my life. There's a possibility I can sense it at this time. This is what I've been praying for. This is what I've been looking for. This is what the deep inside of me has been yearning for. And I can sense the possibility at this time. But this hasn't come from me. I'm not the originator of this. But the kingdom of God is joined with Samson. And the best example of that is Samson. Yeah, Samson there in the prison house, the prophet says it in once more, Lord. He says, Samson sensed the possibility. He says it in Lord once more. He says, there's a possibility, preaching to the Pentecostals, there's a possibility that we can do the same thing. This is day of that day. This is that in this day, coming to the vision, like Samson. If we would only see the vision of a possibility, the prophet says. Friends, that is great. Yeah, that's how the Bible says you even bless it to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Even before you receive the righteousness, just a desire, just sensing the possibility, just desiring and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, it's not a natural thing. That's the Spirit of God that's drawn near to you. And that's how we've got to sometimes sense that there's the vision of a possibility. And Samson is caught the vision of a possibility. The prophet says, why not start right here, right now? Because there's a possibility. And friends, we're not supposed to walk people up into things. We're simply supposed to preach the kingdom. The only thing that we can do is pray for the Lord to visit people. Yeah. It's not cranking people up, it's not scaring people into the kingdom. It's not pressurizing people into certain kinds of behavior and certain kinds of conformity. That's not what we're supposed to do. But what we are supposed to do is one, preach the kingdom, preach the word. And then number two, once we preach the kingdom, we need to pray for the Holy Ghost to anoint what's been said, to press at home, to visit the souls of those people that we've spoken to, so that they can sense the possibility themselves. And that's what we are supposed to do. The prophet says we need to change that. In desperation, he says, we know it's true that God will meet a desperate soul. Friend, if you're satisfied in your son, God's not going to meet you. If you're satisfied with your life the way that you are, God's not going to do anything for you. But when He draws near and He wants to raise you higher, wants to take you further, wants to take you deeper in spiritual things, you know, at that sort of a time when He draws near, and you sense that, and that becomes the most important thing to inside of your life to say, well, I don't care if I have to eat or drink. I don't care what people are going to say about me. I don't care if I have to forsake sleep. I don't care what it is, but Lord, I'm just desperate for you. That's how we sing that song, I'm desperate for you. You know, that kind of a situation to say, but Lord, I need you present tense in my life once again. I need you real now inside of my life. And I can't be satisfied with anything else. I can't be satisfied with the theory of it. I can't be satisfied with the theology of it. I can't be satisfied with my past testimonies, though I preset them. And those testimonies, you gave them to me, pointing me. And he gave me those things as a foretaste of this thing that you wanted to do for me now as a stepping stone. Because but it usually takes something to drive us into that. That desperation. It takes something to do it. What are these things? Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes, like with Hannah, it's reproach. You know, because you don't have certain things inside of your life that other people do. You know, there's two ways you can respond to that, friends. When she didn't have children, now the other woman who had children, Penina, who was the other one who had a Penina, yeah? You have the children. There's two things you can do. Number one, you can give into a situation and accept the lower standard. And number two, you can say, no, I wasn't predestinated unto this. I wasn't predestinated unto spiritual barrenness inside of my life. And I can see, Lord, that you're visiting others. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to accept it like that. I'm not going to accept, Lord, that your thoughts to me are less than your thoughts to them. I'm not going to accept that, Lord, because you are good. And she could sense it inside of herself. Because she had a burden inside of her soul for something that was deep inside of her, desiring to have children. Therefore, that means it was God's will for her to have children. Otherwise, why would she have the deep? And then that day she says, this can be a possibility. It can be danger as with Jacob. You know, it's like the Lord can allow circumstances to bring you to a certain junction in your life. He can work everything up. He can work all circumstances and situations to bring you to one certain place, to create a certain condition inside of your life so that he can reveal himself to you. And that's what he did to Jacob that time. The prophet says the lateness of the hour should throw us into desperation. So a realization of the season and time, and that these seasons have a beginning and have an end, should cause us to seek him with all our heart. In the days of the token, I mean, what did that through them? They realized the season they were in. And if I don't apply the blood by the time it gets to midnight, it's going to be the death of the firstborn inside of my house. Now, there's got to be those sorts of seasons and times when you look and say, but I can't keep going like this. Now, I can't keep just resting and relying on something that's not the real thing inside of my experience. The time is running out. Like I said, we're on a countdown. We've only got so many more days in this visitation to the Gentiles. God has only allotted a certain portion of time, and those days are rapidly running out. When is it going to be? There's going to be a change inside of my life. If I just step out like I am, I just allow time to pass the break. When am I going to be 5 years from now? Am I going to be better? Or the current trend in the course of my life led me to? If I look forward, if I keep with the same level of commitment, the same way that I'm handling the world, the same response that I'm making to the message now, if I look at the current condition that I'm in, the current condition of my heart, what am I going to be telling you? It's a question of the Lord. And when you start thinking deeply like God, then you start seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't want you to be like this. You never died on the cross. You never shed your blood. You never poured out the Spirit on the death of the cross for me to live a difficult life. You never came and crawled out of my sin and visited me and gave my life to me to live a lukewarm life in order to see it. So this more, this greater, this better that you've been destined for me. How can I just accept it like this, my friend? It's not going to stay like that. I'm not even starting to get it worse. And when you get desperate about it, and when you desire to change, when you listen to the deep that's inside of your soul that's not satisfied with this current spiritual condition, and start responding to that thirst, responding to that desire, it's guaranteed this a turning point, guys. And I will lead you on from that place and take you to the Lord.
has never done to supernatural declares itself. But that says you can only be desperate when God fits you. When the Lord says a mention upon you and you speak to the person to you and say, see my face. Like the young people, the Bible says, remember your God in the days of your youth. And the Lord draws near to start calling you the Father. And every time you heard the voice, you responded. And the voice got a Samuel in the night, didn't even know whose voice this was. He went to Eli and said, see that you called me, so that is what doesn't mean. But suddenly he went, but it was the same time, voice came. And then she priest ordered that then had to be shown by the minister, of Lord, God called you. When he called you, this is how you respond to speak, Lord, your servant is, your servant is Lord. And then when he went back, now he was there. He was angry, tired. He had studied tomorrow, the clean tabernacle tomorrow. And he did some sleep. He had an expectation when he was made it. He was waiting to hear it. Because he sensed inside of his soul, this is a Jewish. This is something important about this. This is weak. And now the voice speaks to me again. I'm sure he was wasted it. And the moment he responded, now continued to unfold itself. And that was the beginning of his ministry. That's all of it was. Why are our response? Because friends, we have to respond. There's got to be a response. If you have your time of visitation, you don't respond. Next time, it's twice as hard to respond. God has made it like that. If you just try to be birthright, otherwise, it's not going to be easy to find that birthright again. You know, God is not one person around with spiritual things. He's called us to his visitation is separate. The greatest thing that ever happens to inside of your life is that God speaks to you. It could be great to try to feel that God visits your soul. Since we don't esteem it, we don't get to say, this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to me. And it could not be in the midst of studies and behind our location, behind all these other things. And we allow it to pass us by. Jesus will weep over us the same way that he weeps over Jerusalem, saying, if only you had known, if only you could recognize and discern, even in the Jordan, and now hidden from your eyes. And now the captivity is going to come, the teenage pregnancy is going to come, the child addiction is going to come, the whatever the fortune of life is going to come, and you're going to be weeping and saying the time is coming, that you're going to be laid waste, you're going to be laid captive. There was never his desire for to be like that. He says, if only you had a responded, recognized, again, the time of the visitation. That's why we can now the Lord is doing to grieve the Holy Ghost. Keep the Spirit upon you. That spirit of your visitation, keep it upon you so that you can stay in the channel of your visitation. Keep responding. If he's speaking to you in a certain way, now he's calling you to say, fast and seek my face. Go and fast and seek his face. If there's a certain message he lays upon your heart, a certain something in the Bible, my friend, don't put it off till tomorrow. Straight away, go and get that in that season. I said, Lord, what are you trying to say to me?
Yeah.
And then from there, as you respond, it continues to unfold itself. But there's going to be a spiritual warfare because the devil's going to try now to short circuit that visitation inside of your life. And unless you have a desperation and earnestness, a real zeal inside of yourself to say, this time I'm not wasting this chance. This time I'm going to see this all the way through. I want to see the purpose of his visitation. I want to see what his thoughts and his mind were in visiting me. His friend, whenever he comes, something good happens. He always comes for something for your good. Your spiritual promotion, your spiritual honor, your spiritual enrichment, your deliverance. He wants to reveal something, to do something for you. And those things become the absolutes in the life of a believer. But you need to respond. You need to keep the Spirit upon you so that your visitation becomes an absolute.
because many people have visitations that never result in an absolute. So they can just tell you vaguely, I know the Lord visited me a few days. What happened in that visitation? What did you do when he visited you? Nobody, I really didn't do much, and after a while, the other burden had left me, friend. God never has to visit you a second time if he doesn't exist. And God is very, very gracious. That's why we need to esteem and respond in the seasons of visitation and keep the Spirit upon us and stay within that channel of that quickening, that channel of the deep, the channel of the reality of spiritual things. Stay in that place as much as you possibly can. That may lead you to ask others to help you to pray. You may need to spend time in fellowship during the week with spiritual people. You want to ask questions. You want to tell people what's going on inside of your life. You may need to ask others and say, look, I'm having this experience. The Lord is dealing with me. How can I feed this experience inside of my life? What messages can I listen to feed this experience and feed it and keep yourself in that channel of that anointing, that particular visitation that he's doing for you? Because he's trying to lead you somewhere. And God doesn't lead you nowhere. When he led them out of Egypt, he was leading them somewhere. There was a promised land. There was an inheritance. There was a particular portion that each of them was being led to if they could just follow the visitation through. I'll close with this quote. I've read it many times before. Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever. It's from Charlotte, 1956. It's a discernment, it's a prayer line. And the prophet is Mr. Sitting on the end of the seat, we say by the Gershon here. Mr. Sitting on the end of the seat. Do you want to get over that rupture? Do you think God will heal you of that rupture and make you well? If you believe that you could receive it, then the prophet pauses and he says, it's up to you whether you want to accept it or not. You believe with all your heart. And he says, it didn't please the Holy Spirit just right. The man ought to feel it. You see, just a moment. You've got to respond to it. Yes. So now it's gone in the audience. I called the man, but he didn't catch it. You see, he must respond just as soon as he calls me. That's the key, friends. It's not being smart. It's not being wise. It's not being educated. Although those things are all fine. But it's when he calls you, you respond as soon as he calls you. When he's dealing with you, and imagine that man, you can't tell me that man didn't know something was taking place. The pillar of fire was overshadowing the man. I could see it. I've never felt like this before in my life. There's such a spiritual reality. But what was happening in the life of the man? The prophet says, you see, you must respond just as soon as he calls you. God doesn't want you lingering. Friends, how many times do we forsake our blessings by lingering? By delaying, by saying, okay, I'll do next Saturday, I'll go and speak to them. No, if God's dealing with you tonight, my friend, why go home? So why? Why even get, why not stay here? Or go somewhere, or go in your bedroom and set your bedroom and say, no, tonight's the night. Now, like I say, we don't crank ourselves up into those things, but there's those seasons when he draws in there. And it's busy. The prophet says, God don't want you lingering. He wants you to answer him, see? And that's the teacher. And that's the cause of desperation. He speaks to you. He visits you. The kingdom draws near to you. And then the response that he's looking for is when he calls, you answer quickly. Don't linger. When he draws near, he wants you to respond. But he's telling you, forsake that sin. Cut yourself off. Circumcise yourself from those relationships inside of your life. Whatever that is, my friend, when you linger, if you respond when he's dealing with you, he'll give you the power. There'll be a quickening and your good will be over. But if you linger and that anointing starts to depart from you, then you try to do it after that, it'll be so hard to get the job done. But for the greatest thing that you can do, friends, is to respond. The prophet says, all the bride needs to do is to respond to the anointing. That's all. At every age, the bride simply needed to respond to the anointing.
And may God help us as we come today. And folks, let's pray for the people who aren't here tonight as well. Let's really pray that Lord will bring circumstances in the lives of people to bring a desperation to them. Because we can only preach the word. We can't change people, but the Lord knows how to bring Jacob to the brook Peniel, that he comes to seek the Lord once again. So we'll say tonight, friends, let's not pray anybody who could be here tonight that's not here. Let's not pray for the Lord's blessing upon them like we normally do. We normally say, Lord, then bless those people who aren't here. No, friends, let's not pray that tonight. Let's pray and say, Lord, please. Where the nest needs to be stirred, stir up the nest. Lord, where Jacob needs to have Laban on one hand and Esau on the other, so that he lays a hold of you once again, let it be so. And those people who couldn't come with a genuine reason, God bless them for that. But I say, friends, let's really take these things before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, you're the only one who can do these things. And we can use human instrumentality, it'll never work. But when God is on the scene, he starts stirring up the nest, he knows how to get the job done. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of prayer. George, if you can just lead us in one song, please. As you really just meditate, you can even meditate upon the goodness of the Lord inside of your life. How many times has he visited you? And then also just meditate upon how many times, like in the Song of Solomon, when it says, my beloved came to the door, and he knocked on the door, and she was sleepy on the bed. And then by the time she roused herself and went to the door, she said, my beloved in God. And the seasons and times like that, you can think of those ones, and let's repent of those ones. And then let's seek the Lord for a fresh visitation once again. So Lord, visit our Sunday school. Lord, visit our young people. Lord, visit us in our families and our homes and our church. Let's seek the Lord for a fresh visitation. Let's call upon the Lord, friends. Let's seek him while he may be found. Let's call upon him while he's in the place. Just as we come to a close, does anybody have any requests? Daniel was looking for prayer for tomorrow. He's got a his first of his three transfer tests, really important exam tomorrow from 10 up to 11 in Danbury. So he's really asking for prayer that the Lord would just give him peace. The Lord's already equipped him, but he just needs the peace that the Lord grant him. Is there anything else? Comments? Did you try London or where?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I really pray for Brother Max for such comfort for her passport renewal. Because I think it's 12th of December, the journey to Ghana for the wedding. So I really need the Lord to quicken and hasten that one. So just put that one in prayer. Anybody else? Sister? Pray for the weekend. Can I come pray by next? Please, you come and pray for us. Whatever else, if you have a request, keep it in your heart. The Lord is overshadowing now. He sees and he knows all things. So we just remind ourselves, Lord, God bless you. God bless you.
Let's pray as you hold your petition and request before the Lord. He's an answering God, and He's always faithful to His promises. And we know whom we are going to commit our petitions this evening, that He's more than able to keep us and put everything against that day. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, Lord. Any time the Lord we come to your house here, Lord, the inward man is renewed. Lord, this evening you have renewed us, Lord. And even the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that, Lord, we are truly your children, God. So, Lord, this evening, as we have come boldly, Lord, knowing that, Lord Jesus, you supply our needs, Lord. So we are believing, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. As you know your children standing before you, Lord, their petitions and their requests of God. Even the ones that, Lord, have been put before you, my wife's own passport, O God. Father, our prayer is that we want to come and give testimony to the glory of your name before the next week ends, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. So also, Lord, we commit our little brother Daniel, Lord, into your hands. As, Lord, tomorrow he writes these exams, Lord. Father, grant him the knowledge, or grant him the wisdom, Lord. The understanding of every question that, Lord, will come to him, Lord. Father, we pray that, Lord, he will come through all these exams and come and give glory to your name, Lord. Father, we want to remember the request our precious sister has laid upon her heart to God for her neighbor and the sister that is in Slovakia, oh God. Father, you cover every time. You cover every space. And you are everywhere, Lord. So, Father, we commit this request, Lord, into your hands, knowing very well the Lord, oh, you be faithful to every request, Lord. Lord, we have placed before you this evening. And, Father, from the word that came this evening, Lord, oh, Father, we ask for mercy, Lord. We ask for mercy, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray the Lord we will be able to recognize the season that we are in. But Lord, we are in Noah's day. And we can see events that Lord types exactly Noah's day, O God. And we see Noah how he was desperate, Lord, to prepare an ark to save his house, Lord. Oh Lord Jesus, let the same of God come to us, Lord. Father, we pray for our brethren who are not here. Lord, if anyone had been caught with the spirit of this age, Laodicea's lukewarmness, Lord, we seek, Lord, your grace, Lord, that Father, be merciful, Lord. Anything that, Lord, is stopping our brethren, Lord, to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Lord, Father, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We pray the Lord Jesus, your quickening power, Lord, will quicken us, Lord, for us to realize that, Lord, the rapturing train is already in the block.
Amen.
The flashing red light we are seeing, the signs that we are seeing show the Lord, the time is just so near, God, that it should throw all of us into desperation, Lord.
Amen.
So, Father, we ask that, Lord Jesus, you have mercy upon us, Lord. The Lord, we will find favor, oh Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for this evening, what you have inspired us, Lord, to hear, oh God. We want, Lord Jesus, to live by it, Lord. So help us, oh God. We commit our pastor, Lord, into your hands. As he has stood, Lord Jesus, oh, for you to use him, Lord, to bring this awareness, Lord, to us. Father, bless him and his family, Lord. We commit all other things, the Lord Jesus, in this church, Lord, into your hands. The ministers, the deacons, the song leaders, the musicians, the parents, the children, the youth, or even the work that needs to be done, our evangelism, Lord, Father, we bring all before you, God. The Lord, your spirit will continue to quicken us, Lord. Lord, we ask you that be merciful, that all things that, Lord Jesus, we need to do, your Holy Spirit, Lord, will always put that desire in our hearts, Lord, to do it, Lord, with all our hearts, O God. Father, this evening, we have been blessed. And as, Lord Jesus, the weather has been so bad today, the Lord, you have allowed us to be here. Oh God, even as we are going back, Lord, we ask that you grant us journey mercies once again. And Father, we commit, Lord, this coming Sunday, Lord, into your hands. That once again, Lord, as you always stand in the midst of your church, Lord, you will be in our midst again, Lord, and bring your grace upon us, Lord. Father, we ask that, Lord, the whole house will be filled on Sunday, and that we will come, O God, to give you all the glory and all the thanks, the Lord Jesus, you have done for us the week that has gone, Lord. We thank you, we bless you, give all the glory to you. Bless your church, Lord. Bless each and everyone, Lord. We ask it in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Let's not forget Brother Ellie as well, little Ellie Jr. being in the hospital. Let's not forget that one there in prayer. I'm sure they'll be there and well on Sunday. Amen.
There is one like you, Lord. There is one like you, Jesus. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for you. all eternity long. And cry, there is none like, there is none like you. There is none like you, my Jesus. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for an eternity long and find there is none like you. Your mercy flows like a river. From your hands, seven kingdoms are filled in COVID. There is none, there is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. None like you, Lord. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh yes, I can search for an eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh yes, I could search for an eternity long and find there is none like you.